Chof Zayin Teves, Friday the 4th of January, Rabbi Yitzchok Weitz, Surviving Golas Edom.
Good morning. At the end of last week's Sedra, there's a fascinating exchange that takes place between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe and Aaron were sent as the Shlichim to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. They introduced themselves to Klal Yisrael, and we see that Paro increased the workload as a result of his meeting with Moshe. And Bnei Yisrael complained to Moshe and Aaron, and they said, Yira Hashem Aleichem B'Yishboit, may Hashem look upon you and judge. Hivashtem Esrecheinu B'Einei Paroi. You have made our very scent abhorrent in the eyes of Paroi. And so Moshe turns to Hashem and he says, Lama ha-reisa, lama zeh, why have you harmed this people? You told me that you were going to redeem them, and in the end things have gotten worse. And Hashem replies, Atotire asher eseh le-paroi, now you'll see what I will do to Paroi. And that's how last week's Sedra ended. And the beginning of this week's Sedra, Vaidaber lekem al Moshe v'yema ilav ani Hashem, v'eiro l'avrom, El Yitzchak Vel Yaakov Bekel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem Loinadati Lehem. Through my name, Hashem Yudke Vovke, I did not become known to them. So, if we can ask a series of questions that hopefully will give us a better understanding of this dialogue that took place between Moshe and the Ribbono Shel Olam. We see the Pasuk, the Sedra starts, Va'eiro Lavrom El Yitzchak Vel Yaakov. It seems to be that there's a preoccupation, a fixation on using the names of the others, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Last week, Sedra, when Hashem revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, he said, Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. A few psukim later, again, Koseim al Bnei Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. And the next pasuk again, Hashem Elokei Avisechem Nira Elai, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov. And when Hashem showed the simonim to Moshe, a snake turns into a matzah, he says, Leman yaminu ki nira elecha Hashem Elokei Avosam. Who is Elokei Avosam? Again, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So what's going on over here? Why the repeated references to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Moshe asked, Lama ha-reus olam hazeh, o ma'oz bossi el paroi, Ledabe b'shmecha, I spoke to him in your name. Heira la'om hazeh v'hatzeh lehitzalto samecha, you haven't redeemed your nation. And Hashem doesn't seem to answer Moshe Rabbeinu's question. All he says, he reprimands Moshe, and he says, I'll take Bnei Yisrael as a nation. V'lokachti eschem li la'om v'yisi lachem le'lekim. That doesn't answer Moshe Rabbeinu's taina that you've ruined things for Klal Yisrael by the very nature that Paro has increased the burden. And we see that there seems to be an obsession with the Shem Hashem. Ushmi Hashem lo yinoidati lahem. And Keil Shakai. What's the difference between Vayom Moshe lehelikim, Hine enoichi bo'al b'nei Yisrael, V'omati lahem elikei what is the difference between the name of Keil Shakai that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam used for the Avos HaKadoshim and the Shem Hashem that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam keeps referring to? And this can be split up into a number of different questions. V'yemim Moshe l'elikim. Hine enoichi, Moshe says to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I'm going to be coming to Bnei Yisrael, v'amati lehem, elikei avoseichem, shlechani aleichem. And the response is going to be, v'omru li, mashemoy, what's his name? Mo'oma aleichem. And l'chere, that's a pele. The Klal Yisrael are in the pit. They're in Memtesh Shari Tuma. They've got avodos perech. They're being told that the Yeshua is about to come, and that's the first question. The first question is, Ma Shemoi? From El Chiyid would ask, what's the luggage allowance? The Hashem answers, Eye Ashe Eye, I shall be what I shall be. Rashi says, what does this mean? I'm with them in their current sorrow, in the same way as I will be with them in future sorrows. B'shibut Shah Malchias. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks, what does he mean? Now, in the Eis Tzorah, when they're in Shibud Mitzrayim, I'm going to remind them, I'm going to tell them of future Tzorahs that they're going to have. That's a way of being Mephias Klal Yisrael. So why indeed was HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself with Eyeh Asher Eyeh, I shall be what I shall be also in the future, referring to subsequent Golias? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Yofa Amarta, Moshe, that was a very good taina. Kosoimal b'nei Yisrael. This is what you should say to b'nei Yisrael. Hashem elekei aviseichem, elekei Avraham, elekei Yitzchak, elekei Yaakov, shlochani aleichem, zeh shemi la'olam. And we know famously, Rashi says, zeh shemi la'olam, la'olam is spelled la'alim. You have to conceal my name. And this is where we have the Masorah, that although the Shem Hashem is spelled Yudkei Vovkei, we pronounce it as Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. So what's going on over here with the Shem Hashem being used so often? And Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they come to Paroi, and Paroi's first question is, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekoilo Lo Yadati Es Hashem, I don't know of Hashem. And the final question, for now, a Talmud of mine once asked me, perhaps somewhat insensitively, he observed that, correctly, that you look at Sefer Bereishis, the difference between Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos, he says, if there would be two movies, then Sefer Bereishis is quite calm, and it seems to be there's a lot of family drama and politics and somewhat some immorality. But essentially, it's a calm story. And suddenly, in the sequel, it's suddenly a blockbuster outcome, all the effects, and there's Nisiv and the flies, and it goes completely mental. And L'chaira, it's although it's insensitive to refer to it in such a manner, but one has to understand, as the Ramban tells us, that the reason why we have the parshias of the stories of the Ovis is because of Masa Ovis Simin Labanim, and we see throughout the Ramban that there's different understandings of the concept of Masa Ovis Simin Labanim, either that the Ovis are our role models, or that Hashem orchestrates our lives and our destiny to mirror the lives of the Ovis, or Fakir, that the Ovis' lives set the tone of our destiny. So let's understand Sefer Bereishis and the way the Avos HaKadoshim lived. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga, B'shar Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es HaOlam Hayom Marchiv V'Hoylech. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, it continued and expanded continuously. Ad Shegar Bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Hemidai, until the Ribbono Shel Olam stopped the world and brought it to a standstill. V'Hainu D'Omer Resh Lakish Maidich Siv Ani Kel Shakai. When the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed himself to Yaakov, he introduced himself as Kel Shakai. Hashem was saying, Ani hu sha'amarti, shah. I am the one who said, La'olam dai, enough, stop expanding. So the galaxies, they don't go on for eternity. They stop at a certain point. So Hashem's hanhoga with the Avos HaKadoshim was Kel Shakai. It was a limited, there was a limitation to the Kel Shakai. Avram's contribution to the world was Echad Yachid Miuchad. That there's monotheism, that there's one Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman tells us that Avram Avinu saw how obvious that it was that there is a Borei Olam in every aspect of the Bria. The world that Avram was born into was idolatrous. And although there had been a thin line of those who believed in monotheism, that they understood that there was one Ribbono Shel Olam, Chanoich, Noach, Shem, and Eva, these tzaddikim, they lived and died with their secret. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah of that time, they were praying to intermediaries, and it suited them well, because they were praying to a tide, and to clouds, and to the sun, and to the moon, and to the wind, and they saw that it had some sort of koyach. But what type of Ovdei Avodah Zarah lived in the times of the Avos? So if you look in Ramchal and Das Tvunus, Ramchal, when he talks about the different levels of belief in a Borei, he says that there's one system of belief that existed in the time of the Avos where the Ovdei Avodah Zarah at the time believed that there was a Borei Olam. There had been a creator. The world didn't come of its own. However, he left. He created the world and then he left it to the laws of nature. Why? Either because it was too much, or because he grew bored of it, but Lamaisi he left. And so they could only understand, accept the concept of Riyas HaOlam within their own limitations. And so they had to start serving the Avodah Zarah, they had to start serving the laws of nature because they saw those as the Kochas. So they believed in a Bira, they believed in the concept of a Bira, however they channeled everything through Rabbeinu Shlomo Shlichim. They channeled everything through the laws of nature. And whilst they weren't, it's very important to note that the Rishayim of Sefer Bereishis weren't devious and conniving. You look at each and every one of them, Ephraim, Avimelech, Besuel, Lot, the Deir HaFloga, the Deir HaMabul, Anshei Sodom, they were very transparent in their immorality. You saw straight away who they were, with the exception, the notable exception of Esav, and we'll come to Esav later. And so in Sefer Bereishis, the Avos HaKadoshim, starting with Avraham Avinu, they recognized that Hashem was Adon HaKol. How did they recognize him? Through nature. And indeed, Avraham Avinu's legacy to us was Sefer Yetzirah, a Sefer that shows us through Kabbalah how every single aspect of the Bria connects to a Mekoi Ruchni. Every single grain of sand, every single insect is connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so the Avos HaKadoshim are able to harmonize their entire beings together with the Torah. Through nature, they created Torah. Because it's apparent in nature, the way they understood that there's a Tariag Mitzvah and that there's a Torah, it was evident in every single aspect of nature. And so the Avos understood Hashgacha Klalis, which is something that the Ovda Avodah Zorah understood at the time as well. But they also understood Hashgacha Protis. And so there in Munah and Betochen was in a world of Kel Shakai. And as remarkable as it is, the Maisa, it wasn't that remarkable. Because all those people around them also understood there was a Bira Olam. However, they went one level deeper, and they understood that there was a Bira Olam who was in charge of everything, and was continuously in charge, and is still in charge today. So we'll introduce the next Chelik with a Vart from the Megala Amukus. The Megala Amukus was Reuven Kruker in the early 17th century. And he reveals to us one of the Sisrei HaTorah, which doesn't really perhaps make sense to us, but through the Sifrei Musa we'll be able to understand what he's saying. He says, the Pasuk says, L'chein emor levnei Yisrael ani Hashem, v'hitzeisi eschem mitachas siblis Mitzrayim, v'hitzalti eschem avidosom, v'gaalti eschem b'zorin netuyo b'shvatim gedolim. And in the next Pasuk it says, v'lakachti eschem li la'om, and these are the Dalad L'shonis shel Geula. And he quotes the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says, "V'hitzesi, v'hitzalti, v'gaalti, v'lakachti, arba l'shoyne shel ge'ula, keneged arba malchius, bavel, modai, yovon, and edoim." And v'lakachti corresponds to edoim. V'alkein ksivbe, v'lakachti, eloshen of lekicha. Edoim is koshe mekulam. Edoim, the final golus, is the worst of all golus. And over there you need to use a lekicha. The Ribbono Shel Olam needs to force us out of Golus Edom. And that's why it uses the harshest lashon. So the Megala Amukah says that Golus Edom is the worst because it comprises all of the golus. And he points to a medrash in Parsha Shmini where we learn the halachas of a kosher animal. The Pasuk tells us, when we learn about the split hooves and chewing the cud, the Torah tells us that there's three animals, the gomel, the shofen, the anoves, who, although they're male gera, uparso lo yafris, it does not have a split hoof, and therefore they're treif. And then there's the chazir, who is mafris parso, its hoof is split, v'shoseya sheso parso, it's completely separated, v'hugeira lo yigar, however it doesn't chew its cud. Says the Megala Amukus, go have a look in Parshas Re'eh. Moshe Rabbeinu is doing chazara on these halachas, and he changes things. Whilst the Torah put everything in one posuk, in Parshas Shmini, Moshe Rabbeinu groups gomel, shofen, and anoves as one in one posuk, and the chazir gets a separate posuk. Explains the Medrash, hein keneged dalet golius. Moshe nosan shloshtom b'posuk echod, ulezu b'posuk echod, and Rabbi Yechonin Omar, why was the last one, why was the chazir put in its own separate posuk, sheshkulo keneged shloshtom? Says the Megala Amukus, the chazir resembles Edom. And that's the Megala Amukus. So hitzesi, hitzalti, goalti, correspond to the gomol, the shofen and arnoves, and the bovel, modai and yovon. And Belokachti is the Chazir, which is Edom. Indeed, if you look at the Rechaim HaKadosh, Parshas Tetzaveh, He says, Hatzesi Yitzalti Ga'alti, the Gimel Ga'ulus, we were redeemed from those three Ga'ulus of Modai, Yavon, Paras, Bovel, Modai, and Yavon. We were redeemed as Chus the Shloshes Ovis. However, the Ga'ula Ha'asidah will be redeemed as Chus Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Chidah, at the beginning of Parshas Shemos, he says that the Golos Mitzrayim is Kolol Es Kulam. And look, Ve'eleh Shemos B'nei Yisrael Ha'boim. Boim is Rosh HaTevis, Bovel, Odom, Edom, Yavon, and Modai. So let's understand this Vart of the Megala Amukus and see how it's relevant to us. The Vilna Gaon in Yuma, Daf Tesom Advais, when the Gemara is talking about the Gomel, Shofar, and Anoves, the Vilna Gaon says that it's clear to all of them that they're treif, because you can see from far away, you look at the hooves and you see that they're not split, and you know that they're treif. The Chazir is the worst type of treif, because the Chazir, the Medrash tells us, he lies down and he displays his hooves and he says, look, I'm kosher. The Shashu Rebetz Moitzi Telafov, Va'imahu Shani Tohir, he's displaying himself as being Tohir. And the simon that he's treif is hidden. You have to examine him and then you see that he's takanot ma'ala gera. Says the Vilna Gaon, who is the Chazir? The Chazir is Edom. Edom is Esav. Vayehav Yitzchok is Esav kitzayid bepiv. Esav was deceptive. He deceived Yitzchok. He was asking him these kashas that portrayed him as someone who is a medaktik b'mitzvahs. Ha'ich ma'asrin es ha'melach ves ha'teven. How am I ma'asa melach, which we know is not from the fruits of the earth. It doesn't have a chiyuv of ma'asa. And how am I ma'asa straw? We know that straw is not fit for human consumption. So he clothed himself in the cloak of someone who is the medaktik b'mitzvahs when really he was a rasha. Says the Vilna Gaon that is Edom. Edom is Esav. Edom is the Chazir. And there's a similar vart, the Avni Nezer, the Sachachava, he says that if you look in the halachas of Gid HaNoshe and Chulind of Tzadik Aleph, and with Aleph there's a machloikus, that which thigh is the Gid HaNoshe Osa? So there's, we know that there was the fight between Yaakov and the Sarah of Esav, Edom, and the Yavik Ish Imoy, says the Gemara of Shmuel Ban Achmeni Omar, Ka'ubit Kuchavim Nidmeloi, that Esav appeared to Yaakov Avinu in the form of an Ovid Avodah Zorah. And we know, explains the Gemara, that when Ovid Avodah Zorah comes towards you, because they're chashad and retzicha, so you make sure that you keep them on your right, so you're able to fend for yourself with your right. So therefore, it must be that the Sar Shel Esav must have struck Yaakov Avinu on his right thigh, and the right, the Gid HaNoshe that's treif, is the right. Says Rav Shmuel Ba'acha, no, Ketalmud Chacham Nidmelei. He appeared to him in the form of a Talmud Chacham.
Only one side is treif of Gid HaNoshe. Yeah, yeah. Is halacha?
I'm doing drush here. Rav Shmuel says, Ketalmud Chacham Nidmelei. He came to him in the form of a Talmud Chacham. One is required, we know, to respect the Talmud Chacham. And a Talmud Chacham comes towards you, or a Talmud Chacham is standing next to you, you keep him to your right. So therefore, when the Sarish and Esav struck Yaakov, he must have struck him in the right. Frank the Sachachava, what's going on over here? They both agree that it's the right thigh. So what does it make a difference if he was Nidmeloi over the Kechavim, or if he was Nidmeloi Kesarish Talmud Chacham? Says the Sachachava, because this is what the Gemara is trying to tell us, Al Piderech Musa. We have to understand the danger of Esav. The danger of Esav is that sometimes he appears to us in the form of a Talmud Chacham, but upon examination you see that he's really an Ovid Kechavim. I saw a vart, there's a Belzer Rosh Kolel, Pinchas Friedman, it was unclear to me whether this was his own vart or not. He said, V'yodo Yechezes, why is Yaakov called Yaakov? Because V'yodo Yechezes ba'akev Esav. See, he says, why do we call Yaakov Avinu, the main of the others, we call him by the name of, that he held on to the Akev of Esav? Because that was the gavlus of Yaakov, and that was the lesson that Yaakov was trying to impart to Klal Yisrael. That Titin Emes Liyakov, if you want to survive, you have to look on, hold on to the Akev of Esav, and you have to see, is this a Kusha Chazafisal? Is this someone who's trying to display himself as something that he isn't? Examine him to see who he really is. And that is the way that Klal Yisrael can survive. So now let's return to Paray. This is the Paroi whose dreams were interpreted by Yosef, by Yan Yosef, as Paroi Lemo Biladai, this is beyond me, Elikim Yan Eshleim Paroi. Hashem will respond to Paroi's welfare, and Paroi later acknowledges, Vayomer Paroi Lavodov, Hanimso Kaze Ish, Asheruach Elikim Boy. Yosef was speaking a language that Paroi understood. Paroi, in keeping with the spirit of the times, accepted that there was a Boira, but this Boira had to fit in within the laws of nature. So a famine is nature, and abundance is also nature. And being able to store things as a solution, that's koichi ve'otzim yodi, that shows that I am in control. So therefore he accepts that there's a Rabbeinu Shleilam, and this is the atmosphere that the Avos HaKadoshim were living in. However, in Sefer Shemois v'yokom melech chodosh, asher liyodas Yosef, he didn't remember the lessons that Yosef had taught him, that there was a Keil Shakai, even though he might have thought that they were limited, that he was limited in his abilities. And now let's take a look at Klal Yisrael and Golos Mitzrayim. We're now beginning the harshest Golos, which is Kolel as Kulam, Golos Edom, which is symbolic of the harshest period that Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim. And things had been going very well in Goshen. However, as is often the case, when Klal Yisrael are comfortable, it leads to rapid assimilation, and they slowly started to leave the Batei Midrashim that Yaakov and the Shiftei Kor had built. And we start to find, if you look in the Midrashim, Rabbi Yosef Deutsch has got a series of books, Let My Nation Go. It's a brilliant book to be able to go through during these weeks and over Pesach. And you see over there that there was a rapid assimilation, and Klal Yisrael were disproportionately represented in the halls of theatre and culture. Ad kedei kach, that they no longer used to do a bris milah for their children, and the irony is that they kept leshinu shemom es levusham es leshoinom. They kept the Jewish identity, however they wanted to be cultured, like the most cultured of nations, the Egyptians. And this was already a full-blown golus, because in the end, Golos is really a Golos of the mind. And the physical slavery that came later was just a reflection of this. Only when Klal Yisrael felt the physical pain of Shibud Mitzrayim did they suddenly realize the spiritual price that they'd been paying. And as we see repeatedly throughout history, the more they assimilated, the more the Mitzrayim felt threatened. Vayirbu v'yatzmu b'moid ma'oid, hinei yam b'nei Yisrael rav v'otzim emenu v'yakutzu m'pnei b'nei Yisrael. They were disgusted by them. However, the Egyptians were a civilized bunch, and they realized that they had to annihilate Klal Yisrael somehow. How are they going to do this? So they created the social action plan. They're going to help the Eden overcome inequalities. Vayavidu b'nei Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael beforech, says the Gemara in Sota Daf Yod Aleph beferach. They used soothing words under the cloak of civilization. Paroi himself came to share in Klal Yisrael's burden as they were laying the first bricks. And they used civilized and cultured arguments. Bris Milah, that's barbaric mutilation. Shabbos, that's going to affect your panosa. Vayireu son of Hamitzrim, says the Sifri. Vayireu beloshen reus, they befriended us. They duped us into thinking that they were our friends. So the final years of Golos Mitzrayim were years of pure darkness, where there was no recognition of the Rabbeinu Shleilam, where they were years of a physical and spiritual Golos. And it was in the Mitzrayim that dared to say, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekoilei, there is no Boira, there's nothing. So it's in such an environment that Rabbeinu Shleilam is forced to reveal himself to Klal Yisrael as Zeh Shmi La'olam. I am indeed Echad Yachid Im Yuchad, but I'm also much more than that. I'm Hoya Hoyve Ve'yeh, I'm Hakol Yachol, I'm able to do everything. I'm more than the laws of nature, I'm more than anything that your limited minds can comprehend. And so Hashem says, and so to prove this, I'm going to defy all the laws of nature, and I'm going to prove to Klal Yisrael and to Paroi, who says, Lo Yadati is Hashem. So I'm going to bring out the snare, and the Osois, and the Mata, and the Taras, and the Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Makkos, everything. I'm going to come out guns blazing, and I'll teach Paroi. And I'll teach, more importantly, I'll teach Klal Yisrael. And I'll drag Klal Yisrael from the depths, from the Memtes Shari Tumah. I will drag them out. How? Through Osois of Moisim. Because when they recognize, when they see, and there's no room for argument, there is no room for debate, that there is a Rabbeinu Shleilam, that's how I'm going to rescue them. And indeed, that's the koyach of how I'm going to rescue them also, with this emunah that's been ingrained in them, that's going to rescue them also in the future. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem who's Hoya Hoyve Veyia, and Elokeichem Kel Shakai Echod Yochid Michod, I'm both. So this is what Hashem has answered to Moshe. You ask me, Lama Haraisol Amazeh, I'll tell you. Vaydabe Elokeim O Moshe Veyayim Eilov Ani Hashem. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who they represent Bavel, Modai, and Yavon, the Yidden of Bavel, Modai, and Yavon, they only need Kel Shakai. There will still be some semblance of emunah, some sense of morality in the world. However, and to them, Shmi Hashem lo nedati lehem. I didn't need to use the Shem Hashem. They didn't need the wow factor. They understood it without Nesim v'Neflos. And their identity was safeguarded even in an environment where there was an element of kfira, but it wasn't a complete, absolute kfira. However, the final part of Shibud Mitzrayim, the Sivlis Mitzrayim, what you're referring to as Hara'esol Am Hazer, the reason why I need to cause them physical pain is because through the physical pain they're going to realize the spiritual threat that they're facing. And Golas Edim is the most dangerous one of all. So we can understand the preoccupation constantly where we're reminded of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov represent Golas Bavel and Yavon. However, Moshe Rabbeinu represented the Geula that we're about to face, the Geula of Golas Edom, where we need Shmi Hashem. And so Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Eyeh Asher Eyeh. What I'm doing now is I am equipping Klal Yisrael, this generation, us here today. We were equipped then, back then, in Golas Mitzrayim, to deal with Golas Edom. And so the narrative in Sefer Bereishis is taka very calm, because over there, things could be hidden. It could be done with Zeh Shmi, as Yud Kei Vov Kei, as an Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. However, now, in Golas Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael needed much more than that. And so that's the message here to the final Doros of Mashiach. We're in the worst part of Golas Edom. We've survived the Holocaust. How have we survived the Holocaust? Only through the tools that we were given in Golas Mitzrayim. Through those lessons of Emunah that were part of our DNA, that's how we were able to survive the darkness of a Holocaust. And now when we live in comfort, the most dangerous time, where we see throughout history again and again that Klal Yisrael were threatened and how much damage it caused them, and they will entice us. They'll entice us with their British values and the talk of tolerance and acceptance and the scientific theories supposedly arguing against God. And they say that they want us to be like them, and it's having an effect on our children, where our children are asking questions that we never even thought of asking. We have to remember that V'chamoshim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, only one-fifth survived from Mitzrayim, and all of us here today are eneklach of that one-fifth. And says Rashi, ein chamoshim elu muzionim, that they were armed. What were they armed with? They were armed with lessons of emunah b'tochen. They were armed with the understanding of echod yochid imyuchod hoya hoive v'yia, that even though Hashem might be benista, that he's bahastara, we don't see him, however, he's able to do everything. And that's what we inherited from Moshe Rabbeinu. And so it is that when we have our own Kriyas Yamsuf with Bias Mashiach, and as just as the Geulas Mitzrayim climaxed with Paro's regretful recognition of Mikamoicha Ba'elem Hashem, which afterwards Klal Yisrael used in their Shira, they said Mikamoicha Ba'elem Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, he's Hakol Yochol, he's able to do everything. So we too, we daven that we're going to be steadfast and learn those lessons that when Verol Kol Amei Ha'oretz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yoru Mimeko. Rosh Hashanah.